Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today I will be talking about a stock that I came across while going through the Japan Company Handbook, and that stock is called CI Medical. CI Medical is a dentistry-related trading company. The company sells more than 60,000 items, which ranges from disposables to machineries. The company supplies products to about 60,000 dental clinics. The company is the largest dental supplier and holds the number one market share in mail order business in Japan. In this video, we will be talking about the company's business, then review the company's fundamentals by focusing on the key ratios, and finally find the intrinsic value of the company. So let's dive in and review CI Medical.
Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the company profile. CI Medical Company Limited engages in the development, manufacturing, and sales of dental care products. It operates 3D design labs. It offers advertising and marketing services through its website, Dental Mall, and also manages oral healthcare website CI Mall and Dental Fit, through which it sells oral health products and dentures. It serves medical cooperatives, dental clinics, dental associations, health centers, dental colleges, veterinary clinics, nursing home care facilities, and dental dealers. According to the Japan Company Handbook, about 95% of the company's consolidated sales came from its mail order sales, and the remaining 5% came from other services. Now that we have a brief understanding of the company's business, let's look at the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios. I'm on Morningstar looking at CI Medical Company Limited. Under key ratios, we have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company brings in via sales. Back in 2015, the company's revenue was about 18 billion yen. And for the trailing 12 months, that number had grown to about 41 billion yen. Next, looking at the operating income. The operating income is what's left with the company once we subtract the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's revenue. Back in 2015, the company's operating income was about 1.5 billion yen. And for the trailing 12 months, that number had grown to about 5.5 billion yen. After that, looking at the net income. The net income is the bottom line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that's left with the company once it has paid for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes. Back in 2015, the company's net income was about 1 billion yen, and for the trailing 12 months, that number had grown to about 3.3 billion yen. We can see that the company's revenue, operating income, as well as net income over the past few years has been trending upwards. Additionally, the company's gross margin and operating margin have also been trending upwards, which tells us that the company is becoming more efficient with its operations. Next, looking at the dividends per share. Back in 2016, the company paid about 12.8 yen per share as dividend. And for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 29.21 yen per share as dividend. As shareholders, we would like to invest in companies that pays out regular dividends, as that's a way for our shareholders to get our money back that we have invested in the company. Next, looking at the shares outstanding. Back in 2015, the company had 10 million shares outstanding. And for the trailing 12 months, that number has remained the same at 10 million shares, which tells us that the management is not issuing more shares and diluting the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. Next, looking at the book value per share. The book value is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from its total assets. Back in 2017, the company's book value was about 770.51 yen per share. And for the trailing 12 months, that number has grown to about 1,472.91 yen per share. Over the past few years, the company's book value has been trending upwards and has always stayed positive, which tells us that the company always had more assets than liabilities on its balance sheet, and the proportion of the company's assets to its liabilities is increasing. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract capital spending from the company's operating cash flow. Back in 2015, the company's free cash flow was about 693 million yen, and for the trailing 12 months, that number had grown to about 4 billion yen. I will be using the 2020 figure of 3,701 million yen for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose free cash flow is positive and increasing. And we can see that over the past few years, the company's free cash flow has always been positive and has been trending upwards. Now let's look at the profitability of the company, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line. So it compares the company's net income to its revenue. Back in 2015, the company's net margin was about 6%, and for the trailing 12 months, that number had grown to about 8.17%. What this means is every $100 that the company made for the past 12 months, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had about $8.17 left as pure profit. Next, looking at the return on equity. The return on equity is the ratio of the company's net income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities that have a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2015, the company's return on equity was about 18.66%, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 25%. Over the past few years, the company's return on equity has always been greater than 8%. And it's important to note that the company is not as leveraged and its liabilities are fairly minimal. So it's impressive that the company is able to generate such a high return on equity numbers, given that the company's balance sheet has little to no liabilities. Now let's look at the financial health and liquidity ratios, focusing on the current ratio. The current ratio is a comparison of the company's current assets to its current liabilities. A current ratio greater than 1 tells us that the company has enough assets to fulfill its liabilities over the next 12 months. Back in 2015, the company's current ratio was at 4.60, and for the latest quarter, it's at 4.42. Over the past few years, the company's current ratio has always been greater than 1.0. Next, looking at the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio, except we disregard the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by current liabilities. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose quick ratio is greater than 1.0, as that tells us that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2015, the company's quick ratio was at 1.44, and for the latest quarter, it's at 2.50. Over the past few years, the company's quick ratio has always been greater than 1.0. Both the current and quick ratios tell us that the company is not and never was in a liquidity bind. Next, looking at the financial leverage. The financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to its shareholders' equity. The financial leverage of 1.0 tells us that all of the company's assets are financed via shareholders' equity. A high financial leverage ratio tells us that more of the company's assets are financed via liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's financial leverage to be staying steady or decreasing. Back in 2015, the company's financial leverage was at 1.28, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.27. Over the past few years, the company's financial leverage has essentially remained the same. Now let's look at the efficiency ratios. The first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number tells us how many days go by from the day the company recognizes its sale to the date actually receives cash for that service rendered. Back in 2015, the company's day sales outstanding was at 8.09 days, and for the trailing 12 months, that number had grown to about 23.73 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day sales outstanding number to be staying steady or decreasing. What we do not want to see is a company whose day sales outstanding number is growing rapidly, as that tells us that the company is being aggressive with its accounting, as it's recognizing its revenue sooner so that it can inflate its income number on its income statement. In CI Medical's case, the company's day sales outstanding number is increasing. However, it's not increasing at a rapid pace where it's a cause of concern. However, definitely something to keep an eye on. Next, looking at the day's inventory. This number gives us an idea of how many days does the company's product sit in its inventory before it's sold. Back in 2015, the company's products sat in its inventory for about 93.33 days, and for the trailing 12 months, that number had dropped down to about 79.92 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day's inventory number to be staying steady or decreasing, and we can see that CI Medical's day's inventory number has slowly been trending downwards. Next, looking at the payables period, this number gives an idea of how many days does the company take to pay its suppliers. Ideally, we want to see the company's payables period to be staying steady or decreasing. What we do not want to see is a company whose payables period is growing rapidly, as that tells us that the company is trying to hold on to its cash in order to artificially inflate its cash flow numbers on its cash flow statement. Back in 2015, the company's payables period was at 4.78 days, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 16.95 days. CI Medical's payables period over the past few years has been trending upwards. However, the payables period is not growing at a rapid pace, as for the past couple of years, the company's payables period has stayed fairly consistent. Finally, looking at the inventory turnover, this number gives an idea of how many times does the company go through its inventory in a calendar year. Ideally, we want the company's inventory turnover to be staying steady or increasing. Back in 2015, the company's inventory turnover was about 3.91 times, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 4.57 times. We can see that the company is better at going through its inventory now than it was back in 2015. Now let's look at the company's current valuation to that of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. The first item on the list is the price-to-earnings ratio. CI Medical's PE is at 18.2, whereas S&P 500 is at 24.9. CI Medical's price-to-book is at 4.1, whereas S&P 500 is at 4.5. The company's price-to-sales is at 1.5, whereas S&P 500 is at 3.2. The company's price-to-cash flow is at 13.5, whereas S&P 500 is at 18.1. And finally, the dividend yield. The company has a dividend yield of 0.5%, whereas S&P 500 is at 1.4%. So we can see that in all these valuation metrics other than the dividend yield, CI Medical is undervalued when compared to the S&P 500. Now let's look at CI Medical's discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Over here, I pasted the company's 2020 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar, which is at 3,701 million yen. The annual growth rate of free cash flow, I expect that to be 8%. What this means is I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 8% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 10%. What this means is I expect this investment to give me a 10% return. I'm using a long-term growth rate to be 3%. What this means is after the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 3%. The company has 10 million shares outstanding and no long-term debt. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the company's intrinsic value to be about 7,800 yen per share. When we compare this intrinsic value to the company's current stock price, which is about 6,000 yen per share, we can see that the company's current stock is trading about 23% below the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about 33.5 billion yen. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all those up to get the intrinsic value to be about 78 billion yen. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about 7,800 yen per share. Now, if we disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if you think that CI Medical is only going to grow for the next 10 years and then it'll cease to exist, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity to be about 3,350 yen per share. And finally, since the company does not have any debt, the company's intrinsic value without the debt is going to be the same as the company's intrinsic value that we found earlier, which was 7,800 yen per share. So overall, CI Medical has good fundamentals. Now let's go through the four checklist items that Lilu has when picking any stocks. The first one is the company cheap? From a discounted free cash flow DCF analysis standpoint, we can see that the company is trading about 23% below the company's intrinsic value. And however, from a price to earnings perspective, I prefer to invest in companies that have a PE of 15 or below. So from a PE perspective, I find the company a little bit expensive. However, from a DCF analysis standpoint, it is certainly cheap. Is it a good business? Is the second checklist item. Yes, it is a good business. The business is easy to understand. Essentially, the company is selling anything and everything that is dental related. Additionally, the company's top line and bottom line is growing, and its margins are growing, which tells us that the company is becoming more efficient with its operations. The third checklist item that Lilu has asked for who's running the business. In CI Medical's case, it's Kyoto Shimizu, who's the president of the company, and he also owns about 49% of all the shares outstanding. So we know that the company's management, the CEO, has a vested interest in the company, as about 49% of the company is owned by the CEO. The fourth and last question that Lilu has in his checklist is, what did I miss? And this is Japanese stock, so there's always a currency risk as an international investor. Also, I'm reliant on the behavior of the people in Japan, so the consumer behavior and consumers' attitude towards dental hygiene, in order to meet the projections that I'm assuming for the company. In conclusion, CI Medical has high return on equity with little to no debt. And if the company's stock price drops further, then Superior North will be adding the security to its portfolio. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on CI Medical interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions on which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I'll greatly appreciate it. Thank you.